321. Here we go. The following podcast was recorded over a two-week period with several technical difficulties along the way. Thanks to the miracle of modern editing, the editors of this show managed to Frankenstein it together somehow. Please listen at your own risk. Thank you.
Oh, okay. So we're recording right now, right?
We are recording. We're on.
Should we start the actual show?
Let me start the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's start the show.
I've been watching the show all summer, and I've got to say, you have had one hell of a summer. Formito Bopan!
Welcome to Irritable Dad Syndrome, available in your grocer's freezer section. Please welcome your hosts, Mike and Darren.
Hey everybody, I'm Darren.
I'm Mike.
Welcome to Irritable Dad Syndrome. This is episode 105.
Wow.
I know, right? Yeah. 105, and you'll have to forgive me because I'm still riding the high of our two-year anniversary special,
yep.
Episode 104 that dropped last week, and I've gotten a couple of messages, one from Jim Timmerman, who was wowed, amazed by it, thought it was incredible. My mom called me up today, and she said she had tears. She had actual tears in her eyes laughing.
Oh, laughing, not laughing crying at what we've done
at
our
us, at the Chick-fil-A stories that we told. So
can I ask you a question about that episode?
Sure.
Yeah.
So
we have a guest this week, by the way. This is Mike Chisholm from the Letterman podcast.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mike.
The Letterman podcast in the He's House. And I also host a men's mental wellness podcast called HeCast.
Yeah, we're going to get to that too.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like we pre-interviewed, but we didn't.
Right.
And I'll give you, we got proof of that. But before the proof of the lack of pre-interview, I have a question. Based on that episode, it seems like it could be a geographical thing. Are there a lot of people who fetishize ice cream, who turn ice cream into a fetish? Because it seems like we've got a little bit of ice cream sandwich fetishing going on here.
I've never actually copulated with ice cream.
No, I have not either. Above it. I have not either.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for that.
No problem.
Please continue.
There is a major part of the opening that I need to get to. You said it's episode 105.
Yeah.
In 2005.
Actually, I'm going to I'm going to start over. All right. So, take two.
Today is the first day of the rest of your life.
Welcome to Irritable Dad Syndrome, the podcast that has a different open every single week. Here are your hosts, Mike and Darren.
Hey, everybody, I'm Darren.
I'm Mike.
Welcome to Irritable Dad Syndrome. This is episode 105.
Again.
I know. Very, very exciting.
105.
Yeah.
2005.
Uh-huh.
All that you can't... No, damn it. Okay, start over. Do it again. This is going to be a really awesome Marvel close one. All right.
I hope it all stays in.
That's what she said.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Welcome to the Irritable Dad Syndrome, the podcast that makes its own gravy. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Darren.
Hey, everybody, I'm Darren.
I am Mike.
Welcome to Irritable Dad Syndrome. This is episode 105.
2005.
Yeah.
The How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb tour, also known as the Vertigo tour, is the first tour where I was less than 6 feet from Bono.
Uh-huh.
We got Bono into called the bomb shelter, the pit.
Right.
Up until then, every time I saw Bono, it was like, oh, he's the little ant next to the other ants down there on the stage. This was the moment where I was like right there. And there was a point where he lifted the microphone up above his head, the leather jack lifted, and there was a gut.
No.
And my
saw Bono's image gut.
I saw Bono's gut.
Okay.
My image of Bono was, the time it was shattered and shaken.
Yeah.
Now I would say it was enhanced.
Okay. You felt more like Bono.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We're very.
Darren, can I say something?
The voice you're hearing is Mike Chisholm. Mike is the host of the Letterman podcast, okay? And he's also the, he has like 18 other podcasts that we're going to mention tonight as we get to it. Mike is our very special guest tonight. When Mike started his Letterman podcast, I was the first guest on his show.
Numero uno, baby.
Yeah, and then since then, he has had writers for the show. He has had guests and famous comedians. He's had Dave's best friend on the show.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like, honestly, that I was like the guy from the crew who came in to do the mic check and the light check or whatever for the podcast. Because since then, he's had every single person who has been amazing guests on the show. But before we get more to Mike, I want to mention, I'm still riding the high of episode 104. I wanted to mention that, and I wanted to thank everybody, and I wanted to tell everybody to go to irritabledadsyndrome.com, and you can listen to episode 104, the best of season 2. Now,
yeah. Before Spotify or exactly. iTunes or
anywhere
whatever.
You get your podcast, yeah. You can listen to that. Now, before we get to more with Mr. Mike Chisholm, after we recorded episode 104, our plan was to record an entire episode. And something went wrong and we had to stop. So there's a portion of the show that we recorded last week that we're going to air now. And then we're going to get to Mr. Mike Chisholm.
I got in the mail. Okay.
Yeah.
You remember the McDonald's Monopoly, you get the pieces on a fry.
Yeah. And there was whatever. A big documentary on that.
Yeah. So I got a thing like that. Mm-hmm. And it had a pull tab. Three games. It's a game one, game two, game three.
Okay.
And you pull the tabs.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. And it has a little thing on the side there that says it had like three, like Cincinnati Skylines.
Yeah.
Not the disgusting hot dog, but like the skyline.
Right. I gotcha.
And then
our city has a nice skyline.
Yeah. And then like three buildings and then three dogs and then three whatevers.
Okay.
And the prizes went from $25,000 to $5,000. I think it was $1,000 and then some earbuds.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I pulled the tab.
Some great prizes, some not so great prizes.
On the way from the mailbox to the trash can, just for fun, I pull the tabs.
Yeah.
Three buildings show up. I look, that's a $5,000 prize.
No way.
I stop and I look at it, and it says the confirmation number you need to call and give them your confirmation number, because the confirmation number determines if you've won a prize and what you've won.
Yeah.
I was excited.
Oh, yeah.
Because it says that I won $5,000. So Bess notices that I stopped in the middle of the kitchen, and I'm like, what happened?
Hey, what happened?
And she's
$5,000 will buy a lot of tacos,
she says,
man.
She said, what's going on? I was like, I think we won $5,000, but I need to check.
Uh-huh.
And note, I said we. I think we won $5,000.
Very good.
20 years of marriage, folks. That's how it happened.
Exactly. Your money is her money.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So I call, and I get a sprightly person on the other end.
Oh, sprightly.
She's excited.
Uh-huh.
And she says, thank you for calling the place. I'm not going to give their name. And, how can I help you? And I said, I got this weird thing in the mail that says that I won $5,000. I said that. I said, It says I won $5,000. She said, you have the mailer in your hand now? I said, I do. She said, there's a confirmation code on there. Can you read the confirmation code to me?
Yeah.
Now, remember, I started the conversation out with, I got a mailer in my hand that says I won $5,000. That's what I said.
Yeah.
She comes back. She says, you did win.
No
I said,
way.
Holy crap. And I was like, how do, what? And she's like, are you able to come down here today? I said, yes, for $5,000.
Yeah.
I'll come down there right now. What do I do? She said, come into the dealership.
Come to the place.
Come to the dealership.
On the street.
The car dealership.
Yeah.
Used car dealership.
Oh.
Near Jungle Gyms. And walk in. And ask for the event coordinator.
Okay.
I was like, wow, that sounds okay.
Very.
All right.
Sounds like they know what they're talking about.
I'll see all of you in about 10 minutes. I go in there. I tell Bess what happened. She's laughing. She's like, really? We won $5,000?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And I'm totally spending it on myself to buy a new computer.
Yeah.
So I get in a car. I drive down there. Uh-huh. Okay. I don't know if you've ever been to the dealership that I'm talking about. I can't give you
the name. I think I have.
It's not.
I've been to several dealerships on that street.
Yeah, it's not King's Auto Mall. Tell you that. It's not King's.
Okay.
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 It's not.
Okay.
It's more like
the Jester.
It's the Jester's. Yeah. I walk in and I see a man. He's like, can I help you? And I'm like, I'm looking for the event coordinator. How many people do you know come into a car dealership looking to buy a car that say, I'm looking for the event coordinator? Very, very few.
Not very many at all. No.
He said, well, I can help you out with that. He didn't say, I'm the event coordinator. And he said, I'm insert name here.
Let me interrupt for a second. Uh-huh. If I'm going to an event, uh-huh. okay, I don't want someone who's been to or seen an event who, sure, he can.
Yeah.
I want the event coordinator.
Right, exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly. So I go, and this gentleman says, just come right over here, and there's a table over there, and it's within in the midst of all the cars. And I'm like, ah. It starts to dawn on me. This is just to get me in the door.
Here we go. Yeah.
But I have a document in my hand that says that I've won $5,000. I have memory of a phone call in which I said, I have a document that says I won $5,000. And the other person said, yes, you did win. Please come down.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I go over with him, and I've got, I will admit, I probably have a little bit of a smirk on my face.
Yeah.
Okay. Sit down. And he says, so what you driving? What'd you drive over here today? And I'm a little cheeky. I said, my car. And he's just staring at me.
Should have said you walked.
He's staring at me. He's like, well, what kind of car is it? And I said, it's a Kia. You know, he's uh-huh. like, okay, all right. Uh-huh. What kind of mileage you get on that? And I said, I don't know. I don't really know. And I start to smile. You know, he's asked me that. Yeah. And he's like, what'd you pay for it? And I was like, I just bought it outright because I don't like to get financing from places like this.
Right.
Probably a little shot across the bow there, but I said it.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, that's fair enough. And I was like, I'm actually just here because of the contest. Mm-hmm. He says I won $5,000. He's like, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. God. And I said, I start laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I just blurted out. He said something else about what color your tires.
What's your tire pressure? Oh, you have black tires.
And I said, dude, is this legit? Is this a scam? I said it just like that.
Yeah.
He's like, actually, absolutely, it's legit. I was like, can we just get to where you give me the money?
Because right.
I really just came down here for that. He's like, well, we're going to have a conversation first. And he's getting stern, staring. He's like staring. If we were in a bar,
uh-huh.
this would be like, oh, I'm setting my beer down because things are about to get terse.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Ooh, penultimate.
And penultimate. Yeah. And I said, I'm really just here for the prize money. I'm not in the market for a car. He's like, well, we spent over $50,000 putting this event together.
Well, lucky freaking dog.
He's like, I don't think it's too much to ask to have a conversation. That's all I'm asking for is a conversation.
What is he, your father?
Yeah. So I said, I just repeated anytime I'm thinking about what to say next, I just repeat the last two words that the other person said. Uh-huh. So he finished his sentence and I said, a conversation.
Uh-huh.
And he's he said, yeah, so what are you in the market for? And I'm like,
in the market
I'm not in the market for anything. He's uh-huh. like, well, we're gonna have a conversation again. I was like, okay, I'm driving a Kia. Uh-huh. It's a used Kia. I bought it outright. I don't like to get financing. Mm-hmm. We're probably going to buy a new car in 3 to 4 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. We had a really good time in a Nissan Pathfinder. I didn't go in the whole vacation talk, but he was tempting me. And I was like, we'll probably try to buy one of those and we'll probably just save up and buy as much as we can without doing any financing. So I probably won't even need to talk to anyone like you for another 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I tell you what. I was like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
He says, if you want to buy, it's better to buy sooner rather than later. And I said, really? Insert name
it's
here.
It's better to kiss my Why ass is, sooner than
I
later.
Said, he said, well, what's happening is that we're getting rid of fossil burning fuel cars.
Oh, yeah.
And I
yeah.
said, okay. And he's like, he leaned forward. He said, everything's going electric now.
Oh.
So.
It's electric. Yeah.
If you want a normal combustion engine car, uh-huh. then you need to buy one now before they're not available.
Before these hippies.
And I said, you don't think combustion engines are going to be available in 3 to 4 years? And he like leaned back. Well, I don't know. I can tell you that we've got plenty of them here.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, insert name here. Maybe I want to buy an electric vehicle when we buy one.
Yeah.
He's like, a Nissan Pathfinder is an electric vehicle. And I said, maybe it will be in 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
I said, can we get on with the thing? So he like, he took my flyer
mm-hmm.
and said, well, let's go look at the prize board. He stood up. Now, in my conversation with insert name here,
uh-huh.
all I said was, I'm here to collect the prize money. I never said how much I won. He never saw the game piece
right.
open. as he's standing up, he's like, somebody's already been in here to get the $5,000 prize. And man, they were excited. We got a picture of him up here on the wall.
It's like from 1993.
Really? Really? And I'm looking, I remember looking at the game piece that said there was one $5,000 winner. And I said, well, my piece said I won $5,000. He's like, well, we've already given that one away. And we walk over, and sure enough, there's the prize, and I put the picture up. Mm-hmm. The 5,000 is marked out, and there's this black and white picture from like 1853 of some old dude up there getting the prize money.
Yeah.
And I said, there's got to be a mistake. And he looked at he's like, let's look at your confirmation number.
Yeah.
And he compared it, and of course, it went to the earbuds. He's like, looks like you won a pair of earbuds. It's like, no, I called. And the lady confirmed that I won $5,000. She's like, I don't think she did. And I was like, insert name here. Uh-huh. She absolutely did. And I asked him again. I was like, this is a scam. You guys are doing this to get people in here. And I started getting loud. I was like, everyone's here. How many people here think they won $5,000? Uh-huh. A couple people looked at me.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I'll be right back. And he went into where there's other dealers. I took the pictures that I showed.
Yeah.
He comes back out with the earbuds. And he's just he doesn't throw them, but he like jabs me in the chest a little bit.
Like $1.79.
Yeah. He's like, here. And I'm like, now Better Call Saul popped up in my head. I swear to God, Bob Odenkirk popped up in my head. It's like, whoa, don't accept those. The instant you accept those, you enter to a contract that you accepted the prize.
Right.
Back away. Keep your hands away.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not taking your earbuds,
Lawyer up.
Yeah.
Lawyer up.
I was like, I'm not taking your earbuds. He's like, fine, suit yourself. He threw them in his pocket, and he turned and walked away from me.
Wow.
So I called the lady.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I called him from the house, they had my name and address when I gave them the confirmation number, and they asked if I was that person. I called back, and I said, it was the same lady. I said, I talked to you earlier, and you said that I won $5,000 on this thing. She's like, sir, the confirmation code indicates what you won. I said, I understand that. But our conversation started with, I won $5,000, and you confirmed that, and you said, yes, you won.
Yeah.
She said, sir, the confirmation code indicates what you won with. Can I have your confirmation code?
Mm-hmm.
I got it. She's like, looks like you won some earbuds. I'm like, wow.
This is why people hate
your
salesman.
So I started, by the way, I went down there in my Irritable Dad Syndrome shirt.
Nice.
So that in case I was asked, I could point out, hey, I'm part of the podcast.
Right,
I'm
going
to blow this
thing
up.
We're going to destroy you.
All 18 of our listeners are going to know.
Loyal listeners
are going to know about this right here.
Yeah.
So I'm taking pictures of the thing. Uh-huh. I didn't get a picture of insert name here.
Mm-hmm.
But I went out, and he's out there with other insert name heres. Mm-hmm. Standing around. He's got his shades on, and they're staring at me. And now it's like I feel like I'm in an episode of The Sopranos walking by Satriali's pork market with like Tony and his buds out there like watching
Big
me.
Pussy.
Big pussy and Tony watching me. So I get back in the car, and I'm laughing myself silly at this whole incident. I'm a little pissed.
Yeah.
Because I did leave my family for, it's like 45 minutes, drive over there, this bullshit, and then drive back. I was like, I don't need that in my life. And then you call.
And Bess has already spent the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's already put in the pool.
And my favorite part of it was that you called, because it was the one time. 103 episodes at this point. It's the one time we've made contact in the middle of a bit, in the middle of something that's happening.
I called you like, hey, Darren, are you at blank blank Audible? I'm like, no. Why would I be? But
so hold on. So, okay. Yeah. So I get online, and I'm sure you've seen the post. Anybody that follows us on Facebook, please follow us on Facebook. They posted a picture of a lady, a video of a lady winning the prize.
Yeah.
Not the old dude I took a picture of inside the dealership.
Yeah.
And then I've since looked at, you've heard of Nextdoor, that little, it's an app or whatever, all your people around.
That's where my neighbors live.
Okay.
Get it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yelp, all these different social places. There's a lot of people. I don't want to exaggerate and say hundreds, but tens of people that were convinced they won $5,000. They got down there. And this is the part where it's a little heartbreaking. There was a lady whose parents had the beginning stages of Alzheimer's. and they were convinced they'd won $5,000. And she was trying to explain to them that it was a scam and they didn't really win.
Yeah.
And she had to throw away the prize, and she had a problem with, they still think they won. So
it's just wrong.
F this place.
Yeah.
F them. Uh-huh. I'm like, man, I hate buying cars. You know, we have the van out there. I don't know if you've noticed that Vin's a 2009 van.
Yeah.
And my car's a 2014. We hate buying cars.
Every car I've ever owned has had over 200,000 miles on it. I buy one and I drive it until it just will not go another mile.
I'll drive until there's like sludge coming out of of the radio into the thing. And like Andrew will say, shouldn't we get another car? I was like, I don't want to talk to one of those guys, man. I don't want to talk to one of them.
I never get new car fever. I know people who every 2 or 3 years, like, oh man, I can't like that. It's like, no,
now,
I never do.
Well, on our vacation with that rental car, we were all like, whoa, maybe we should go in debt just a little bit. And but we didn't do it.
Yeah.
And we've since gotten accustomed back to our cars that we have.
But, well, this is why people hate car dealerships. Okay.
It is.
When I lived in Tennessee, I had a car accident and it wasn't my fault. My car was totaled. Insurance, you know, paid it out.
Yeah.
And so while I was handling everything, I had a rental and I was going and looking for a new one. Okay. I had like 3 days to use this rental.
Yeah.
And I had looked at one place and I saw a really nice Honda Civic that I liked.
Yeah.
And then I went to another dealership and there was a Subaru that I was like, so I'm trying to decide between these two cars. Now, my mom used to sell cars. Okay.
Really?
So yes, she did.
Really?
For a long time. I go to the Subaru dealership.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very common.
Yeah.
I was going to test drive this Subaru. It wouldn't start.
Okay.
It happens all the time. Every person I've ever known who works at a car dealership has told me that sometimes lights get left on.
Won't start.
The light gets left
on. Yeah, I get it.
And so they said, and I'm like, well, I really wanted to test drive this. They said, let me go get a jumper and we can do it. Mm-hmm. And I said, I've got to go to work. Tell you what, I'll come back. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I came back 2 days later. All right.
Yep.
It was in the morning. I found the same guy who showed me the car before. He's standing at the front of the dealership, hands in both pockets.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I was here a couple of days ago looking at the Subaru. Did you get that car jumped yet? He said, no, I haven't had time. It was 2 days later.
Yeah.
2 days later.
Yeah.
2 days.
Yeah.
Okay. And I said, well, I really need to get a new car. It was between this Subaru and down the street, there's a Honda Civic that I'm looking for. And he goes, well, Hondas are good cars. I've bought 4 of them for my daughters.
Okay.
And I said, okay, thanks. And I drove right down to the Honda dealership and I bought the Honda Civic right then. And I said, you need to thank blank, blank
at
blank, blank dealership.
Yeah.
And they were laughing their ass off. I mean, what did he mean by that? Like, that's a girl car.
Yeah.
You buy a Honda Civic, only girls drive. I've bought 4 of them for my daughters.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Yeah. You know, when Libby and I, we had, when we were in Tennessee, she bought a Nissan. Okay. She traded in her car. She bought a Nissan.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying. It's like, you know, you had to sign this. Before we go, we need to show you where you can get your oil change. And we need to show you where they do this. And we need to show you where they do that.
Yep.
We were there forever. While we were doing that, this guy says, because I had followed her out there in my Pontiac Vibe.
Yeah.
Okay. And he says, sir, what kind of car are you driving? I said, I've got a Pontiac Vibe. How many miles are on it? And then he started asking me the same that your buddy.
Why do they ask? I know why they ask all these things.
So what would it? So are you thinking about trading that in? And I was getting really pissed at him.
It pisses y'all.
I'm like, we just bought a car.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to sell me another car.
Mm-hmm.
and Libby had already signed all the stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
She had already made the and everything. Had she not, I seriously would have stood up and said, we're not taking the Nissan. And I would have left because one car wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
This jackass had to sell me two cars. Car dealerships are like, are it's like, you know, you hear about one bad doctor and then nobody trusts doctors. Okay. You hear about, right, like, yeah, you know, and it's unfortunate because there are a lot of really nice, mm-hmm, very cool car dealers out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Trustworthy. But when they do like this, you never want to go there again.
Yeah. Everybody's got a story. Yeah. Everybody's got a story of a freaking car dealer, used car.
Yeah.
New car, you don't really have that too bad. I mean, we bought the Toyota new, mm-hmm, and I made a really stupid car purchase in my younger days. Mm-hmm. I was one of those, I walked in, I'm not paying a cent over sticker.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. You put your foot down. Yeah.
This portion of our show is brought to you by Dave Lay Heating and Cooling. Hi, I'm Dave Lay, and I've been the announcer for Irritable Dad Syndrome for a couple of years now. And let's face it, the podcast money ain't rolling in like we had hoped. So I opened up my own heating and cooling company to make ends meet. Now you might ask, Dave, what do you know about heating and cooling? Well, here's the thing. I know when a room is too hot and when a room is too cold. And somebody has to do something about it. Schedule an appointment today and I'll give you a free estimate. Plus, a new filter. Limited time only. Offer may vary. See website for details. Dave Lay Heating and Cooling. For people who want their home to feel just right. Now, back to the show.
We are back. Mike, what made you decide to do the Letterman podcast?
The Letterman podcast is a long story. It's a confluence of events, mm-hmm, that began the night this picture behind me was taken. That's David Letterman, a month, mm-hmm, before he retires, using me as a comedy speed bag, I like to say, in, mm-hmm, the front row. And that moment where I made Dave laugh and which was one of the greatest moments of my life.
Yeah.
And then got on that quick, you know, that Hal Gurney quick cam shot and, mm-hmm, showing in at the beginning of the show where he references our conversation. I would say the roots of the Letterman podcast began that night.
Fantastic. Now, I haven't talked to you about this, but I know because when I did the show with you, when I was your first guest, and thank you again for having me on.
You were the secret sauce to the Letterman podcast, Darren.
Yeah, everybody's
and people take that however you want to take it.
Everybody watched that and said, "Damn, if Darren Cox can do it, then I can totally do it." Right? You had mentioned to me when I did your show that you were going to go out to Los Angeles, California, and that you, yeah, were going to meet Mr. Letterman, and that, yes, happened. I am jealous as hell.
It sort of happened.
Okay.
I didn't actually be in the same room and meet him. But I did, however, get that picture. And they're just over here in the corner there. I can show them to you. But
okay.
I did get them personalized and autographed.
Okay.
So
I got nothing else on my questions. Mike, do you have any questions for Mike Chisholm?
I didn't even know who he was. See, when
I get that a lot, Mike.
When I was coming downstairs, Bess, I told her, I was like, we have a guest on the show. She said, who is he? I have no idea.
Yeah.
And what Darren had sent me was the wrong email address. It was Shazam Mike. I was like, it sounds like a serial killer. We may have to heavily edit this episode.
This is where Darren and I came up with the world's best podcast idea that, mm-hmm, can't be, that's so good. It already has to be a podcast. It has to be.
Yeah.
I think so. I don't know. Like, so this is the idea. So, he's letting me know via the, one of the messenger services that are out there. We don't want to promote who it is. It doesn't matter. We're non-denominational. And, we were talking to each other about these things, and what was happening was, an idea was germinating, and it was simply this. During that process, you sent an email address that was not mine, an invite.
Yeah.
And my comment to Darren was, oh my God, I hope he comes on. It'll be the best podcast ever.
Oh, yeah.
Just
right?
Somebody
just random invite.
Why did you send me this invite?
Like, yes.
Well, hey, we're up.
Here we go.
Basically wrong numbers, but with the internet.
Hey, what happened?
I believe that when somebody, okay, so this came up with the idea. Okay, so let's find email addresses, random email addresses from wherever, and let's send them podcast invite links. And there's your show.
I think
there's your show right there. They're hitting I agree, knowing that when they hit the Zoom thing, it's being recorded. I think that right there gives you your you're out. And then boom, you've got a podcast with different people. You know,
who
take my
was
money.
It? There was a news anchor years ago who would take, you know, phone books from all over the country and roll them around in like the lottery wheel thing. And then they would grab one, a phone book at random. So they grab St. Louis, Missouri, and then they just, and then they grab the number and then they just go to the address.
Yeah.
And then they just knock on the door and it was every person has a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we could totally steal that idea.
Yeah.
Well, right? Absolutely.
Who's going to know? I mean, because no one listens to this podcast. They would never know we stole the address.
Well, even better would be to get business addresses and call in the middle of the workday.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And just end up in some meeting.
Is your refrigerator running?
Different folks.
Well, and, after the story we heard last week, we're not dealing with any car salesmen.
Well, maybe we do. maybe we do.
Irritable Dad Syndrome is proud to be associated with Newsly, the all-in-one audio super app for iOS and Android. For the first time ever, the entire internet becomes listenable, all in one place. Newsly picks up articles about the most trending topics and reads them to you in a natural human voice. Irritable Dad Syndrome is available there too. You can find trending podcasts from more than 80 countries and digital radio as well. So stop scrolling and start listening. Download Newsly now. Just go to www.newsly.me and use this promo code, 1RR1TABLEDAD, and receive a free 1 month premium subscription.
I got to come out there. I got to see what's in the, what the deal is.
The Blue Bunny ice cream bars?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know, man.
They're thick. They're thick with two C's.
They're thick with two C's. Exactly. Yeah.
Is that an ad logo or is that a fact?
That's
of the
a fact.
Product?
It's a fact.
It is absolutely a fact. They are, honest to God, I mean, I don't know if you're a connoisseur of ice cream sandwiches, but the Blue Bunnies, holy crap, they take it to another level.
Yeah.
They I got to find out if they're in Canada. Blue Bunny.
Yeah.
Way better surfing penguins down a glacier.
They weren't surfing.
They're surfing.
They're not surfing.
They're surfing.
So, can I ask a very layman question? Sure.
Where does Klondike bar sit on the, and where does the Oreo cookie ice cream sandwich sit on the scale compared to these bad boys?
Well, the Oreo cookie sandwich can go because I've never had it.
Okay.
The Klondike bar is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It is nearly equivalent to the ice cream sandwich in that I will go on a Klondike kick and then that's all. You remember when Jesse, you were a Breaking Bad fan.
Basic chemistry, yo.
I loved Breaking Bad. Better Call Saul just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Last week.
Anyway,
remember, there was a series of episodes where Jesse just went straight off the deep end, heroin. Mm. Walter White found him in the crack house, or the heroin house or whatever.
Yeah,
that's me with Klondike bars. I hit rock bottom, and it's usually while I'm watching Breaking Bad for the umpteenth time through, and I look down and I reevaluate my life.
Yeah,
and I
crumple. So what you're saying is it's midway through the scale.
It is.
Okay.
And I throw it away, and then the next day I decide I'm going to change my life for the better, and I go get Blue Bunny ice cream bars, and then the same thing, ice cream sandwiches. The same thing happens. The same arc happens. It goes to joy. I want to tell everyone about it. I slowly devolve, and then I'm Jesse in the heroin house again.
Right.
Wow.
And then I go back to Klondike. It goes back and forth.
Now you see. Your problem, big major problem.
I don't see a problem with any of that.
Well, your
hook. This sounds great. You sold me the dream. Take my money.
Is with ice cream sandwiches.
I feel
sandwiches.
Like this is a religion.
My thing is with Little Debbie snack cakes.
Yeah.
That's where I have, and it is a problem. I don't know how many, I think like 23 or 24 times I have bought Little Debbie snack cakes for the last time. This is the last box I buy of them. And I buy them, and I hide them in the car. I hide them in the house. I've hid them in the laundry room. Yeah. I hide them from my kids, and I can say that because the kids don't listen to the podcast.
Yeah,
and watch them listen to this episode. Yeah. I hide them.
Let this be a vault for when you pass on.
My friend. Yes.
So right now, I've gotten away from ice cream almost entirely. I am going on the Tillamook chocolate, and I'm keeping that to myself for right now.
Okay,
we're not going to talk about that. But I am on the Albanese gummy bears.
Gummy bears?
Yeah.
Okay.
Albanese gummy bears.
I'll eat a gummy bear, but
they're soft.
Okay.
You've never had a gummy bear until you've had an Albanese gummy bear.
Okay.
And the way I heard about this on a flight, one of the flight attendants, this was like a 1 a.m. flight. I'm one of the few passengers that was awake. And part of the reason I was awake was the flight attendant would not shut the hell up about these gummy bears and went through the cabin.
gummy bear.
You know how in normal God-fearing Christian flights, they give you either stale pretzels or a cookie.
I love those cookies.
This dude was walking around with Albanese gummy bears, and he bent down and got uncomfortably close to my face.
Yeah.
I'm talking his nose was 4 inches from my nose.
That is uncomfortable.
And that is uncomfortable on an airplane at 1 a.m.
Or any time.
And he said, these are going to change your life, and handed them to me. Like it's
The flight attendant did that.
And can I ask a quick question before you give us the result of the olfactory and then the taste experience of the gummy bear?
Olfactory.
Do you think that that's the smell part.
It's the smell part.
That's the title.
Do you think that flight attendant, it sounds like that flight attendant has precision nose work. That dude knows how to get their nose as close as humanly possible to things. And I feel like they might be part bird.
Possibly.
And that was the only thing I wanted to say before you talk about it.
If he's part bird, that means he's part dinosaur.
And part flight attendant.
Right.
So
rock on.
The first thing I noticed upon getting the package of Albanese was how not disturbed I was by what was happening. I was disturbed by how undisturbed I was by a strange man giving me gummy bears at 1 a.m.
That's crazy.
At 10,000 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And they were.
Didn't you pay attention in grade school? You don't take strange candy from a man, especially a part dinosaur man.
They were exceptionally squishy. And if you.
I'll bet they were.
He had them in his pocket.
I know you're in Canada, so you don't have Walgreens. You've got like Moose Tracks or whatever the hell. Wherever you go,
that's
get
where
your
you go to the
farm,
the Moose Track.
I would say Shoppers Drug Mart is our version of that. Uh-huh.
There you go. You get the Haribo. You know the Haribo gummy bears?
Oh, of course. Yeah, man, they're a big sponsor of the LA Kings, and I worship the ground that the LA Kings skate upon.
You break a tooth in those things.
Uh-huh.
The Albanese are uncomfortably squishy. Uh-huh. They're sensual.
Okay.
You open it up. Here's how much I love Albanese gummy bears.
Okay.
Even the yellow ones, the pine saw lemon yellow gummy bears that you give to your friends when they ask you for gummy bears, like here.
Yeah.
Take
no
these.
One's ever asked
those,
me.
Those
yeah, they taste like Glade.
Those are awesome. Yeah. And you.
Not that I've ever tasted Glade.
This lemon pledge may smell like lemon, but it tastes like.
Here's what's insidious about these gummy bears.
Okay.
They are soft enough to where you technically don't need to chew them.
Uh-huh.
You can just swish them around your mouth and swallow them.
Mm-hmm.
You do want to chew them a little bit because you want to still be in normal society.
It sounds
you
like
still want to be
a step
accepted
above
to normal
a Jell-O
society.
Shot.
It's almost like that. They've engineered the softness.
Yeah, I was going to say a funnel, like back in college.
Yeah.
You get the funnel and you just start funneling them suckers in and just a little bumpy on the way down, but slick as all get out.
You'll drop about 10 to 15 of these grizzly down your gullet before you know what happened.
Right.
Okay, so I got to ask the natural question.
Yeah.
Gummy bears versus the ice cream bars.
Can't go there. It's like, what's better, meth or heroin?
Yeah.
You ask
no,
a heroin
no,
dude.
I can pick my favorite kid. Don't you tell me that. That's a cop out. Choose one.
Okay. If I had to choose right now, if it was one of those weird Facebook things that people post where they're like, save the world, end poverty, or get a PlayStation, I could pick a PlayStation.
Yes.
I would go, oh my God, ice cream. I'd have to go ice cream.
Yeah. I would go the ice cream.
There it is. Absolutely.
I'd have to ditch them.
Yeah.
But
hey, I got a PS5. I didn't get the new Xbox.
I got both of them because I'm a dork.
See, I'm on that edge, but when I chose the first one I got was the PS5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I feel you, man. I love you guys. I just want to say that right now.
Well, now that you've
mentioned you got a PS5. See, here's the thing is that Darren spends a lot of time working out the rundown and all these things. And by the way, when I told Bess that we have a serial killer on tonight for the podcast, I said, and I quote,
knives. Lots of knives.
I don't care who it is. It's Darren's friend. He can talk to him and I'll sit in the back and not do anything.
Right.
And here I won't shut the fuck up.
Can't get a word in.
Because you said PS5. So what's your jam?
I'll tell you this. I'm playing my Switch more than anything.
Okay.
My wife and I play Mario Kart almost every night on the couch.
Yeah, this way.
Like, tell me I don't have, like, that's a pretty rad perk for my marriage
right there.
It is, yeah. So I play Mario Kart with my wife. She's a Pink Yoshi. I'm Tanuki Mario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
We take it seriously.
Yeah.
We'll go online and we'll go 1-2 against the world sometimes.
I'll do the dude with, like, the little sprouty hair coming out, the turtle with the sprouty hair coming out. It looks like he's
Lemmy.
Lenny.
What is the Switch game with all the Nintendo characters where they fight each other?
Super Smash Bros.
We've got the Smash Bros.
Knives come out when we do that here.
So we've started playing Super Smash Bros. With the kids.
It's so good.
Now, I, for the longest time, did not enjoy playing this because, well, one, I mean, I get my ass kicked every single time. Sure. And a lot of the games, they don't have
that's your job.
They don't have a beginner level. Like, it's like, so I move up, and then I'm already dead.
Yeah.
Super Smash Brothers, even my wife, Libby, the four of us were just going to town on it. And as long as I come in third ahead of her, I'm fine. I'm
that's one fine. Of those games that absolute
Super Smash Brothers. That's, Super Smash Brothers.
Love that's it. A game where somebody who's like freshly lobotomized could start playing and do
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
That's
and
me.
Then,
yep.
And that then is people me. Could play it for years and master the fine art of all those little things. My jam.
Okay, but that, what's that like? That's like what we grew up with. That's like Street Fighter 2 was. Street Fighter 2 was just mash the buttons and you could do well as well.
Yeah. So I'm going Mortal Kombat. That's been my jam for a while.
Good.
Mortal Kombat 11. I just got back into it. I was actually going to make a call out to the podcast. Anybody who wants to get on the Xbox and fight me as Mortal Kombat.
I'll drop. Who's I get the characters in this one? Who are the characters in this one that are? Is Spawn in this one?
Yes, he is. Spawn, okay. The Terminator, RoboCop.
Oh, I got to get this game.
RoboCop is pretty badass. They've got both RoboCops. They've got the normal RoboCop that we all grew up with, and then you got the 2014 RoboCop where they came back and
Hey, guilty pleasure. I like that movie. I like that movie a lot. Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed it. It was pretty horrific when he found out, like they did that scene really, really, really well.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that scene, and that scene probably that scene made the movie worth it. It's just like the fight with Obi-Wan and Vader was worth all of Obi-Wan, no matter if you liked it or didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It carries the show regardless. Yeah.
This portion of our show is brought to you by AutoHonk, the new feature for your car that's taking the world by storm. Hi, I'm Dave Lay, and there's nothing I hate worse while driving than having to stop what I'm doing and honk at somebody who doesn't know how to drive. Is there a moron that isn't going when the light turns green? What about that dipwad who pulls right out in front of you when there's nobody behind you for miles? Or how about that hot lady who didn't notice you sitting there in your fully restored, freshly waxed Pontiac Firebird? So, keep your hands on 10 and 2 and let AutoHonk do the honking for you. Download the app today at AutoHonk.com.
We are speaking with Mike Chisholm, host of the Letterman podcast. It's a really good podcast.
Yeah.
And I had mentioned earlier, I was the first guest. And since then, how many people who have been close to Letterman you've interviewed? Because holy crap, so it's quite impressive.
So we're going to episode 21 comes out Friday.
Uh-huh.
And of that, I believe there's four that aren't staff members.
Okay.
But I've got a couple in the can that nobody really knows about. I've got, maybe they suspect it. We've teased it. I've got a Gerard Mulligan episode where he mentions your name, sir.
Can't wait to hear it. I seriously cannot wait.
I name dropped the Cox. And he's a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just threw it out there just to see what he would do with it.
Yeah.
And he hit a solid double. It was good.
Well, I'll tell you what, for a writer, Gerard was extremely easy on camera. It's like he didn't seem to be fazed at all with the lights and the camera and the mics and everything, you know. A lot of those guys, you know, some people are meant to be writers. Some people are meant to be on TV. Gerard Mulligan was one of the perfect people who could do both easily, handily. I mean, he was just always fantastic when he was on.
He appeared on camera so many times. I mean, there's a bunch of Don Giller compilations of the he did. Like, he's been organized into, like, appearances with Chris Elliott.
Yes.
The times he got fired.
Yes.
You know, and there's a few other ones, too. Giller's got, like, the a Macarena. Bunch on Mulligan.
Mulligan like, doing like, the Macarena. Is one of the funniest damn things you'll ever see. I challenge you to find something funnier than him doing the Macarena.
And you know what I'm going to do, actually, is I'm going to forward him this episode.
Okay.
Because the reason I'm going to do that is I enjoy playing cruel pranks on people. But also because I think that Jerry's going to get a kick out of me asking you to tell your question. Or not your question, but you had a request for me when you knew Jerry was coming on the show, because I do confide in you,
Darren.
Please don't ever break that confidence.
I won't, sir.
Okay.
My question was there anything that Gerard Mulligan would not do? Because, You know, he would wear a dress. He would wear makeup. He would wear the pearls. He would do the Macarena incessantly. Hey, Macarena. He would, you know, he would dress up as a cicada. And that's one of the, because when I heard that you were interviewing him.
Oh my God, segue. Yeah,
my former girlfriend, she's still a great friend of mine, Sandy Skeen. She wrote the viewer mail, you know, "Dear Dave, can you do anything about these darn cicadas?" Sincerely, Sandy Skeen, Knoxville, Tennessee. And he mispronounced her name. I think he called her Andy Skeen, or he said her name wrong. And so then Gerard Mulligan comes out dressed as the cicada, and it was hysterical. A picture of him dressed as the cicada made it on the farewell, the last episode montage. So kudos to Sandy.
So I wanted Gerard, I'm sending him this podcast. I wanted him to hear this part because there's a PS to the story, and I wasn't sure if you had known about it or not. So George and I talked, or Gerard and I should say.
Yeah.
Gerard and I talked about this.
Close friends call him George.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jerry and I, we talked about it. And so how cool it is having one of my friends have a story that I get to relay and then have him comment on it, and not just comment on it, but provide some insight. And he tells that story on this edition of the Letterman podcast when it comes out.
Cool.
And so, because I don't know if you knew, there was a PS to that story. He, because cicadas come out every 17 years or so, right?
Yes.
You don't get cicadas, do you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got them like crazy last time.
You're kidding.
Yeah, we had branches falling off of our tree where they would chew on them. And then sometimes the cicadas would weight the branches down. Yeah, we were just infested with cicadas, and they were loud. There was just thousands of them.
Okay, so the PS of the cicada story is that however many years later it is, 17 years or whatever, around that time, they did it again on the show. And he came out again, and it was 17 years after that appearance.
This portion of Irritable Dad Syndrome is brought to you by the life and wife of Alan Ludden. This biography, written by Adam Neediff, chronicles the amazing life of Alan Ludden, a broadcasting fixture for nearly 40 years, and the husband of Betty White. This book is a real page-turner and is available to purchase at BearManorMedia.com. And buy the hardback. People who read hardback books look so much smarter. Trust me. Now back to you guys in the studio.
Got it. Okay.
Hey!
Oh, yeah. Okay, he's there. Jesus. Okay. There's been so much cussing on this end. I need some water. Okay. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Oh, this. I'm serious. This is the best. This is the best podcast ever. This is the best podcast I've ever been a part of.
This is just.
I had Steve Young last Friday. This is the best podcast experience I've ever had.
No,
Steve Young is amazing. That's another guy I've talked to.
We never have this much trouble. So, I mean, it's like I'm not embarrassed. But, you know, apologies because I don't want to waste your time. I appreciate your time.
This is a disaster show.
Yeah.
It's magic. This is necessary. This is very Letterman.
So here's the thing. When we edit the show, when we censor, if we say, that's a duck quack. Okay. If we say, that's a bong. If we say, that's the clown horn.
Made an appearance for multiple episodes.
Yes. That's also a bong. If it's a really bad curse word, you hear R2-D2. And then sometimes we'll have a radio station.
Hey, what happened?
I gotta know what that one is. Like, I can't.
That's
the
if sometimes
up there, right?
No. That's if sometimes we like if we accidentally say a name or someone's address or we've mentioned a business and we thought, you know what, we're not gonna sour their name because it wasn't their fault. I'll throw in the
and I hate the. I personally hate the C word. I just don't like the way it sounds.
Yeah.
But it made an appearance, multiple appearances on the podcast because I literally did order 12 nuggets at Chick-fil-A. And then in the process of trying to correct that, I kept saying, I didn't mean nuggets. I'm sorry. I said, I just kept saying it. It's like once it
this
happened.
Sounds like a bit.
No, it did. Yeah, that's it actually happened. Every story that we've told is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Except for the U2 fight. I embellished the out of that one. But everything else is just 100% true. But I was eye to eye with a Chick-fil-A lady and I kept saying
he's in Canada. Do you have Chick-fil-A in Canada?
No, no. Okay. Chick-fil-A is like In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah. Do you have nuggets in there?
I honestly don't know.
Oh man.
Okay. We're
so,
back.
Apologies. So sorry.
No, this is good. Like I said, I love this. This is punk rock to me. I love it. This is Wayne's World. Let's do some Wayne's World in real life, boys. This is fun.
No, so for our listeners out there, tonight's episode, we have had a just a particularly large amount of technical difficulties that we have worked through. So our editor, me, is going to have a fun time Frankensteining the show together. And you should make it a challenge.
You should make it a similar experience for them that we've gone through. You should like have another podcast just spliced in randomly. Talk about
in the meantime, why don't you listen to,
minutes.
I don't know, the Letterman podcast while Darren edits this one.
So, I don't know, but I like the cut of your jibs. You guys are awesome. This is so much.
Thank you.
I'm having a ball. I'm sending this episode to Steve O'Donnell. I think this is really fun. I think he'll really enjoy it.
This portion of our show is brought to you by Burger Chef.
Last night, I went to see Weird Al Yankovic in concert. Now, I've seen Weird Al twice before, and I've mentioned on this podcast that the first time I saw him was at the Ohio State Fair, okay? And he did a phenomenal show, and it was great. And I wasn't front row. I was right up at the stage, but I was on the side of the stage.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the front of the stage.
You were seeing his profile.
I was to the side of him, exactly.
You saw one side of the accordion.
And I was so pissed after the concert because the girls, the cheerleaders who came out during Smells Like Nirvana, were handing out backstage passes to this guy, this person, do you want one? You in the back, you here. And they're giving them all to people who are in front of the stage. They would not give them. I was literally closer to the girls than some of the people who were in front of the stage, and they were not giving backstage passes to the people on the side. They wouldn't look at us. It's like I had scurvy, and I was just sick about it. So, I mean, it's like I was just like so close to getting to meet Weird Al. Now, the second time I saw Weird Al, and I've mentioned this, was at Kings Island, Timberwolf Theater. The loudest concert I've ever been to. I've seen Metallica. I've seen the Prophets of Rage. I've seen Van Halen. When I saw AC/DC and the cannons came out and the, and then, you know, my ears rang for 3 or 4 days. Weird Al was louder than that. So anyway, I love Weird Al. I have all his albums. I have all his CDs. I have all his videos, the movie, the morning show. This particular tour was the ill-advised vanity tour where he did nothing but deep cuts. This is all original stuff that he wrote on his albums. Yes, Mike, you have a question.
I have two questions. The first one is, when you saw him perform at the fair, did he do a polka?
He always does a polka.
Okay, yes. So even at the fair. Because the idea to me of Weird Al Yankovic at a fair doing a polka is a pretty cool, unique experience within the Weird Al mythos. I think that's pretty great. That sounds awesome to me.
I think that show was when he did the Bohemian polka, because he does a polka version of Bohemian Rhapsody, which is pretty kick-ass.
Lovely. Have you heard the Hamilton polka?
I have.
Oh, how good is that? Yeah.
But when I heard the Hamilton polka, I hadn't seen Hamilton yet, so I didn't get it. And now I watched Hamilton on the Disney+, and now I get it, and so I'm you know, pretty hip with that. Anyway, so I took my kid, my youngest son, to see Weird Al last night. Yeah.
Can I ask a question before you get into the songs he did? Can I ask a question? Did he sing? Did he sing One More Minute?
He did not.
Okay.
But he did two love songs. He did. He did Melanie.
Oh.
And he did You Don't Love Me Anymore. So those are the two love songs.
Oh, You Don't Love Me Anymore is One More Minute, I think, is my all time favorite. But those
off
two,
of Dare to Be Stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that song. Grade 12, I did in a drama class. Mm-hmm. We had to do a monologue, and all I did was a lip sync version of that where I pantomime the song while I'm doing it. You know, had to use the self-service pump. I did that, right?
Nice.
And, you know,
nice.
I'm in grade 10.
Don't do that again. Thank you.
I'm in grade 10. Yeah. So it's even that much more magical.
The coolest thing that he did, and I've never seen him perform this, and I never dreamed that I'd see him before this, he did Nature Trail to Hell.
kidding.
Off of In 3D. Nature Trail to Hell. In 3D. Nature Trail to Hell.
You won't be.
It was yes! amazing. The lights were all red. He did the the screams, and it was fantastic. Now, Mike, I was talking to you.
Wow. Yes,
you said that you. I'm sorry, Mike Chisholm, not Mike Gold. Mike Chisholm.
I'll go back to sleep.
You told me earlier that you met Weird Al a couple of times.
Yeah. So,
what was that like?
Really, really cool. One of the times was just really quick, and it was actually a handshake because I really got the first time. So he played my local city. This moment I'm about to talk about goes back to the Bad Hair Day tour.
Okay.
The first time I saw him. And that was after the show. I would do this with a lot of my favorite artists from Nine Inch Nails, Faith No More, and some of my favorite bands. Weird Al came to town. I'm like, I'm going to do the same thing. I just, you hang out at the bus afterwards. And many times there's an impromptu meet and greet. It ain't like this VIP shit they're doing now, you know, it's a little more pure.
That's right.
And, and I met him and I had my my VHS copy of UHF, which I still have.
Nice.
And I got him to sign it to Mike. I want to get it to put in the studio here. It's just, it's in a box at my parents' house. I got to find it. But I asked him, this is the part. So I love UHF. Oh my God. Like even the song UHF.
Yeah.
I love that song. Like
we've got it all on UHF. You know what? His band is amazing.
Oh, they're so
Weird
good.
Al's
it's
band.
The same band, right? From the very beginning.
The same band.
That's like 40
years. 40 years. He mentioned that his drummer was out because he had caught the COVID. And so he was had to stay in Ashland, Kentucky, where they were the night before. So love him.
Yeah,
it's bad enough you have COVID, but you've got to stay in Kentucky.
I used to live in Ashland, Kentucky.
So my heart bleeds for him.
Yeah.
But he had mentioned that he had been with his band for 40 years.
That's forever.
That's insane. Yeah.
There's a couple interesting biopics coming out. Hulk Hogan's is coming out.
Really?
And that Thor fellow is playing him, Mr. Chris Hemsworth. He's playing Hulk Hogan.
Oh no!
No,
I'm serious. Oh, yeah, look it up, man.
That's
going to
be awesome.
I wonder if there's going to be a Mr. T character in there because my earliest memory of Hulk Hogan was WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah.
With Hulk Hogan and Mr. T.
I want to see either Jamie Foxx or Wesley Snipes try Mr. T.
Uh-huh.
But that's another biopic,
Jamie
though.
Fox.
Jamie Foxx playing. Jamie Foxx can do anything. Yeah. I think he can do anything. I think he is the Tom Hanks of a new generation. I really do.
He is very talented.
Yeah. There is one. There's one. Who is it? Motley Crue. Have you seen the Motley Crue one on Netflix?
I have not.
I
was in
tears. I heard it's awesome.
I was bawling by the end of it, and I didn't expect that.
What, because it's funny or it was because it was really good?
It's really good. Okay. I mean, it's really like really touching and heartfelt.
No way.
Yeah, I was in tears.
I had no expectations of that whatsoever.
I didn't either. I came down here to laugh. I put it on to laugh, and by the end of it, I'm a blubbery mess.
Yeah, because Hulu has the Pam and Tommy.
Yeah,
which I've heard is actually pretty good.
Yeah. So you need a widescreen TV for that.
Yeah.
Waka waka waka.
The Motley Crue one drove me nuts. I was crying myself silly. There's a U2 one coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's a series.
Oh, amazing.
So they're gonna do, I read about it, they're gonna do from the beginning of the band up to Joshua Tree and for one season.
Okay.
And then Joshua Tree beyond
to present
the next season.
Well, look at what the Beatles did with their one Peter Jackson special.
Dude, you know, Peter Jackson special was amazeballs.
And it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But you think about bands who had more of a you know, that's based on one, you know, 3 month period of time or whatever it was. Not even.
Well, you know what?
The idea of what U2 has, the catalog of what they have, including films that have already been made. Like, I think a season per era and make it a three era arc.
It might have been up to War. I can't remember. It was an article. I mean, everybody's just kind of guessing. The Zoo TV, Octane Baby, was going to have its own whole thing.
Zoo TV is one of my favorite concert series, open air concerts of all time. Zoo TV was absolutely, it was religious. It was so good.
I've said if I had a time machine, I would go back. I didn't know how to get concert tickets when Zoo TV was hitting. So yeah. Pop was the first time I saw
them. Well, you two never came anywhere near me.
Yeah.
The whole time yeah.
Time I was watching Pop, I was like, this is amazing, but I wish I was seeing Zoo TV right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd only had a couple of their albums, but I still love their music, but they never came anywhere near me until the Joshua Tree reunion, not the reunion tour, but the Joshua Tree tribute tour.
The whole U2 biopic series came from that 5 seconds in Bohemian Rhapsody, where you see them come off stage before Queen goes up.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Really?
Have you seen that? Have you seen Bohemian Rhapsody?
I love Bohemian
Rhapsody. So, you know, they did
so the, clever. Yeah. That is so clever.
They did the shot for shot of the Live Aid.
Yeah.
When Freddie Mercury is going up the steps, it's Bono, Edge, all of them are, it's not them. I mean, it's actors playing them are coming down. So, of course, all the U2 psychopaths like me got online and was like, actually, U2 had finished their set an hour and a half before Queen came
on. This.
There
was I love this blah, blah, blah. So much. This is my favorite. This music geeking stuff right here is like one of my favorite things in the world.
But they made it look like, story. I mean, in the scene, I mean, you missed it. I saw it because I literally, because we saw it down here.
Yeah.
Darren, you can't see anything, Mike, because we suck and we don't have video. But
upheaval in the U2 community, ladies and gentlemen.
So, yeah. Bess and I were watching Bohemian Rhapsody. We're like, it's a great movie. Yeah. And then I see Bono and I flip the popcorn. I actually spilled it over and I jumped up like, Bono! And Bess is like, her first words were, okay, calm down. And I see them.
He
had the mullet. It was the mullet, Bono.
Can I say something about Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yes, you can.
And I want to brag about my wife.
Okay.
We were watching it.
Two birds, one stone.
Yeah, no, my wife and I, we're fantastic together. So the kids were at school, and Libby and I both had an off day. I don't remember how we had an off day, but we did. And we decided to watch Bohemian Rhapsody, and the opening came on.
Great.
And there's Brian May playing the theme with the 20th Century Fox, right?
Yeah.
On the guitar.
Uh-huh.
And Libby paused it, and she says, you know, everyone always talks about how great Freddie Mercury was. But Brian May's guitar, it was so instrumental to their sound, equally as instrumental. I'm like, damn, woman. I think I just fell in love with you a little bit harder there, you know? And is exactly right. His guitar sound was as instrumental to their overall appeal as Freddie Mercury's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane.
So, yeah, we talked about this on a previous episode, so I'll just touch on it briefly. But I am not a KISS fan. I'm not a KISS fan. I've seen them a lot because my friend Jim, that's his favorite band, so I've just kind of been to a lot of KISS concerts.
I used to be a huge KISS fan,
but
I'm at the thing now. It's like, take off the makeup.
Yeah. Somehow the YouTube algorithm locked me into members of KISS reading their biographies, and I got fascinated with how much they hated each other. I was like, my God, this would be an amazing biopic to watch. Like, they, you know, they, like, everyone hated Peter, and then Peter hated everyone, then he liked Ace, and Ace tried to, you know, couldn't stand him.
Yep.
He glued all of his furniture to the top of a ceiling in a hotel room.
I don't think he did that.
And
damn it, Ace!
Yeah.
Stop gluing my...
That thing would... you don't have to like them. Just that would be... I would watch
It was the craziest thing about KISS because, you know, Peter wanted to spend more time with his family and he left the group.
Yeah.
And then Ace couldn't get off the juice and the drugs. And then he left. And they had guitarists and another drummer. And then one guy died. And then this... I think they had... If you give me a second, I'm certain I can think of all the guitarists.
Yeah, they started going through guitarists like Pearl Jam goes through drummers.
Pretty much, yeah. And then they reunited, and they were doing their thing. And then Peter wanted to spend more time with his family, and then Ace couldn't stay off the juice and the drugs.
Yeah.
And it's just the same thing again.
And now it's like, you know, we're watching them, and it's because I just saw them on their farewell a couple of years ago, because I felt like, well, I'm legally obligated.
Their eighth farewell tour.
They're 80 now. Yeah. And the whole time I'm watching them, I'm like, do they dye their chest hair?
I think that's all
I was thinking about.
They wear the makeup so you can't see how old they are.
You know, like when I talked to you about how when I saw the Flaming, I kept thinking, that can't be their name. Or Faster Pussycat.
Faster Pussycat.
I was like, the whole time I'm like,
I think it's the Flaming Lips, which is a little actual... bit.
Well, that's very
not close. Much, but you know.
Ooh, wow.
It's like the whole time I'm like, this cannot be their name.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it's the same, like, same thing with Kiss. I was like, he's actually walking around.
Now, my thing with Kiss is they reunited, they put the makeup back on. That was cool when it was the original members.
Yeah.
But once Peter and Ace left, the band is half a tribute band.
Yeah.
Because one guy's dressed as Ace, wow. Another guy's dressed as Peter. And the dude gets up there on his stool and sings Beth.
Yeah.
You planted a flag there, man, by declaring that.
Like he's Peter. I'm sorry. They're half tribute band.
That's crazy. Yeah. You're blowing my mind by saying that.
Yeah.
Like I say, I love this music geeking out. And I never was a Kiss head. Yeah. Or Kiss. I wasn't a member of the
babysitter,
Kiss Army.
Christy Nunez, brought her albums over to our house when we grew up.
Did you have a crush on her?
She was cute and sweet, but no, I mean, I was like five. I didn't have a crush on her. No, at the time
I had a crush on like two babysitters.
Okay.
But my memory of Kiss, so I had somebody who was like a bona fide member of the Kiss Army. And one night he invited me over to his trailer, and that sounds bad, but like we're like 19 years old and
Kiss
he went
Army.
And bought a trailer.
He lives in a trailer. Yeah.
Okay. He lived in a trailer, but he like bought it. He owned it on his own land. It was cool.
Sure.
So he brought me over to his house one night.
It's not the Alabama Army. It's the Kiss Army. Right? I mean, there's some class here.
Yeah.
So, well, where I live, real estate is really expensive. So even a trailer now is he did good with it, but just there's a connotation when you say, hey, a guy invited me over to his trailer to watch Kiss tapes.
Yeah.
I
want to apologize to people who live in trailers because I have many family members who live in trailers, and there are a lot of nice trailers, and I don't want to judge people who live in a trailer.
One of my best friends lived in a double wide for a long
double
time.
Double wides are badass.
They are.
Right back at you. And I have that in my life too.
Yeah.
My question is, do you think differently when someone says, I'm going to invite you to my trailer to watch a Kiss tape versus I'm going to invite you to my apartment to watch a Kiss tape?
It does sound, yes.
Yeah.
It totally sounds.
I'm just
sounds,
saying, if you're dressing the window,
you're exactly right.
We're dressing it with a little. But
where
the
I come from, the first one is less creepy, actually, to my ears.
Really?
Yeah.
It's more a party. So
plus,
anyway,
you're watching tapes. I mean, who has a VCR anymore?
This is the thing. It's like we're in the 90s here, and he takes me over to his house to show me this
player.
Kiss. This, no kidding. A VHS tape of Kiss, and they were like, it was their exploits. They were crushing beer cans between women's breasts. They were doing like it's a crazy video. So if they hated each other, I think they there was a long entertaining road as to what led from the starting to the hatred. It's fascinating to me.
There was clearly a time when they didn't, and when they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the four of them stood there together, you know, you could see that they still had, you know, feelings and that they still cared for each other. But then once that was over with, it's like they started going at each other the very next day.
Yeah.
So
it's a bunch of alphas, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean,
how Paul and Gene have managed to stand side by side all these years as alphas they both are, it's really impressive.
So, I think it's money. I think they know how much money. I mean, Gene Simmons is one of the best examples of an ingenious mind.
Exactly. He'll put the Kiss logo on anything. Kiss.
He tried to copyright the horns. Yeah. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I just learned that one. The horn, the devil horn thing at the Rock.
Rick James who came up with that.
Well, people came up with a lot of examples. Like, hey,
the dollar sign, the bag of money, the money bag with the dollar sign on it. He copyrighted that. That's the legend, anyway. I haven't really explored that, but it was the scuttlebutt a few years ago.
But the horns thing went away because somebody proved that John Lennon was actually the first person that in recorded rock history.
I know this
but I don't know how to use the stock market or pay the bills on time. But I can tell you, if you could pay bills with useless knowledge.
I'm your brothers. I'm both of your brothers. This is how you guys are related. Somehow I've come into the picture, and somehow I've got second cousins on both sides. I mean, holy cow. I could not agree more with you guys. I'm having a ball. This is a great night.
We are running out of time. Before we go, I wanted to mention, I wanted to ask you a question. Mike Chisholm. Mike Chisholm is our guest from the Letterman podcast. You're from Canada. Is Anne Murray a god still in Canada?
I cried a tear. You wiped it dry. I was confused.
I think the pronunciation is goddess. Actually, yeah.
We had guests on the show 2 weeks ago, and they do a movie review podcast. And one guy is from Canada, and he mentioned that Anne Murray was a god, and the other guy had no idea who Anne Murray was. So
You know what? This brings me back to a Letterman podcast anecdote with Gerard Mulligan. Oddly enough,
well, you know, whenever somebody was on Letterman, like Martin Short or Michael J. Fox, almost every single time Dave would say, "Now you're from Canada, right?" Yeah. I'm like, "Dave, they've been on your show 22 times. You know that Martin Short is from Canada."
Give me a break. I couldn't be more excited, I must say. This anticipation, it's making me mental.
He simplifies
Eugene Levy? Things, now, man. He states the obvious. John Candy. Yeah. Before we go, tell everybody how they can listen to the Letterman podcast, and tell everybody how they can listen to your men's health podcast. Because, I mean, I know that we've been talking about the Letterman podcast, but I think it's fantastic that you have a men's health podcast.
I appreciate that very, very much. You know, if you want to listen to the Letterman podcast, if you search in your preferred podcast denomination, you can search the Letterman podcast and you should find me. I should be at the top of the list. And thank you. My wife is building a men's mental wellness app. It's we're building a tech company out of our house. It's pretty crazy to watch. It's called He Changed It. She changed it and we changed it are coming, but there's a real crisis when it comes to men's mental wellness. 75% of suicides are middle-aged men in many of the North American regions. So my wife, and this is really the crux of it. My wife doesn't like the world that her boys are inheriting. And so her and her team has built this app called He Changed It. So I host HeCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. If you go to HeChangedIt.com, you can see all the info there, including how to subscribe and download the beta of the app. So there we go. Thank you for that.
Well, Well, I'm glad you mentioned it because, you know what? And I don't want to end this podcast, this particular episode, on a downer, but I am positive, absolutely positive, that my father was bipolar. He was never diagnosed, but I'm certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he was bipolar and that he had depression and he had anger issues and he also had some paranoia. And I know that if he had
that's huge,
reached out and got anybody to talk with him about it and to work through it and to have some help, that he would have been happier while he was alive. And I wish that he had. I really wish that he had. And so I strongly encourage everybody to go and check out Mike's mental wellness
page. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
HeChangedIt.com. That's what the app is all about. It's resources. And it's tough to talk course that was built by the Canadian Mental Health Association. It's free and it's in there. And it's funny how just talking empties the glass. You know, we get so full that even a drop of water, the glass gets so full that even a drop of water spills everything over. And that's violence or a heart attack or a stroke out, you know, or something. Right. But if you just empty the glass, and all you're doing by emptying the glass is something that women do naturally, which is empty their shit to each other. I digress. HeChangedIt.com. Everybody, thank you very, very much for having me here. Yeah. I can't wait for our next two projects.
Yeah, thank you for being a guest on our show. And we want to mention to all our fans here in Irritable Dad Syndrome land, do we want you to please go to irritabledadsyndrome.com. You can listen to previous episodes. Go back and listen to 104, the best of year two.
Yeah.
It's getting really good reviews.
Yeah,
it is. We had so much fun putting it together and really was. I'm stupid proud of it. And I'm happy to be doing the show with you, Mike. And
yeah, happy to be doing the show with you. I want to throw out a challenge to our listeners in Ohio.
Okay.
I'm going to be going to see Megadeth at the end of September.
Yeah.
And around the same time, the tour t-shirt for Venomous Beaver will be delivered here because I've ordered that.
Okay.
I'm going to wear my Venomous Beaver. So if you happen to be going to the Megadeth show and you see me with my Venomous Beaver shirt, come say hi.
Come say hi.
I'm trying to see how many people ask me about that band because I'm going to tell them all about the band.
All about it, yeah.
There's a biography of the band on the t-shirt.
Can't wait.
description, so little plug there.
All right, guys, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you next week on Irritable Dad Syndrome.
You know, I haven't said the word cheese titties in a while, Darren.
And Mike, come on, man. Give me something X-rated.
Sorry. I don't know how many times I have to tell you, I love this experience so much.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
This feels like old Letterman. Did I fuck it up very badly?
No, I just hadn't introduced you. No, it was totally fine. But that's why I restarted, because I hadn't introduced you yet, and I wanted people to know who you were, and I wanted a chance for them to know you before you started yapping.
On your worst night, your production kicks the crap out of my production.
Your dog's down here, Mike.
Oh, for fuck. Are you serious?
She's right around the corner.
Stop it.
Five dinger.
Five finger death punch?
Yeah.
Let me clear my throat. I hope you don't mind. When you say, hey, woo, hey.
Hey, technical difficulties are a bitch.
Whoa, feedback. I sound amazing.
Woo!
Yeah, we will fix this in post.
What makes this difficult is that the computer...
Everything is difficult tonight.
How you needed me.
We're on a different level tonight. Yeah. This is a train wreck. I know.